WRPQ Baraboo, W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Western North Carolina still reeling from the impact of Hurricane Helene, which has killed 91 people and left at least 600 still unaccounted for.
In Asheville, many residents growing desperate. Cell service and potable water out for days. In Lake Lure, homes splintered and reduced to rubble. Boats and docks piling up, towns turned into lakes, roads sliced in half, cutting residents off from critical help. At one point, North Carolina DOT forced to close more than 400 roads, deeming them unsafe for travel.
ABC's Faith Abube in Asheville, North Carolina. A dock worker strike could affect consumers if it goes on for a while. The union representing about 45,000 longshoremen says they are preparing to walk off the job at midnight without a new contract. Hezbollah's acting leader is vowing to keep battling Israel and says the Lebanese militant group is prepared for a long fight after Hezbollah's leader was killed over the weekend. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, I'm Ted Aylin. The last person to see Elijah Vu alive is getting another status conference in court. Lawyers representing Jesse Vang agreed to a new status date on November 6th. Vang is still only facing chronic child neglect charges for incidents that happened before Elijah Vu was reported missing in February. A horse in Marathon County tests positive for Eastern equine encephalitis. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection confirmed last week the unvaccinated 2-year-old gelding is the first horse to have the virus in Wisconsin since 2021. The disease is often fatal in horses showing signs of the illness. And deer hunting season is underway, and the Department of Natural Resources reminds hunters to have deer tested for chronic wasting disease. The DNR also offers tips on how to prevent the spread of CWD. There's more information about that online on the DNR's website. Ted Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Sunny and warm again today. We'll get to around 81 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, becoming breezy after midnight, 52. Tomorrow, sunny and a lot cooler with a high of 65. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
99.7.
Here is David Boy.
That's. Put on your red shoes and dance. your face.
Max FM.
It's
is the way that I want to live.
It's my prerogative.
I can do just what I feel.
It's my prerogative.
Nobody can tell me what to do.
It's my prerogative.
Cause what you're doing, I'm doing for you now.
Don't get me wrong, I'm really not suited. Ego trips is not my thing. All these strange relationships really gets me down. See nothing wrong with spreading myself around.
Say, everybody's talking all this stuff about me.
Yeah.
Why don't they just let me live?
Tell me why.
I don't need permission.
I don't
make
need
my own decisions.
That's my prerogative.
It's my prerogative.
I can do what I want to do.
It's my prerogative.
Can you live?
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you on Monday morning. It is 8:12 a.m., and yes, it is still Monday. But hey, we will get through this together again. This weekend just flew by. I just can't believe it. Next thing you know, it was Sunday night, and it was like, where did this weekend go? Well, we did a lot of running around, too. I'll talk maybe a little bit about that later. It is going to be a beautiful today. Sunny with a high of 82 degrees. Tonight will turn partly cloudy with a low of 52. On Tuesday, sunny, a high of 64. Wednesday, sunny with a high of 71. Looking into Thursday, a warm back up, sunny with a high of 74. For the weekend, we're looking at highs in the 70s, sunny. Going to be a beautiful weekend to be out and about, so no real chance of rain at this point in time. We'll keep an eye on that as it gets closer to the weekend. We need to talk about our pets at the week at the Sauk County Humane Society, and let me tell you, I'm looking at their pictures this morning, and oh my goodness, these are some cute pets. Vincent is a four-month-old black and white, gray-white domestic short hair kitten. He is full of kitten energy. Vincent enjoys a lot of playtime, chasing toys across the floor, attacking a scratcher, and general kitten antics with his litter mates. He will settle in for some lap time as well, and then is off with another burst of energy. Vincent would be a great companion if you're looking for an active guy with a big personality. Vincent will be neutered, microchipped, and up to date on vaccines before going home. Now, Hayes is also 4 months old. He's a mixed bred pup who came into the shelter as a stray with his three litter mates. Hayes enjoys a walk and is doing better on a leash. He enjoys playing in the yard with toys and getting your attention. Hayes is a puppy work in progress and will require puppy training, so patience will be a plus. Growing up in a shelter is not easy. Hayes will be neutered, microchipped, and up to date on vaccines before going home. And if you have researched the pet that's best for you and your family, met and chose your pet, now's the time to get ready to bring them home. What will you need? Basic supplies should be pet appropriate. Dogs should include leashes, collars, harness, ID tags, crates, bedding, toys, treats, and a good quality food. If you're getting a cat, collar ID tags, a litter box, litter, toys, bedding, and a scratching post. Treats and a good quality cat food, a carrier to bring home your pet, small critter cages, and all those things like for rabbits. So yes, if you're going to bring a pet home, you want to make sure you're prepared to bring them home. The next volunteer orientation will be held this Saturday at the Sauk County Humane Society. Applications may be found online at saukhumane.org. And if you want to go look at the pets of the week, you can go there as well. Children 8 to 18 may volunteer with an adult, and they need your help with some donations. They need bleach, Dawn liquid laundry detergent, and canned cat and dog food. So again, they need bleach, Dawn
liquid laundry detergent, canned cat and dog food. If you're able to make those donations, please consider helping out these wonderful animals over at the Sauk County Humane Society. Again, go to saukhumane.org to look at these wonderful animals. I hope these two won't be there long. This kitten is just cute. He's got his toy right there. Wow, beautiful pet. So please consider an adoption today. We need to also talk about some other things that are going on as well. These are the simple joys in life, right? And we all have those moments of something that we just enjoy. And a new poll asked 2,000 Americans to name the top simple joys in life. And hopefully you got some of these in over the weekend. And let's talk about those. And some of these didn't happen. Number 10, the sound of rain while you're inside, safe and warm. Number 9, waking up to the sun shining. Usually when we're waking up in this household, right now the sun is not shining for at least an hour or two. Number 8 is having someone tell you that they're thinking about you. Number 7, we had this one this weekend, the smell of freshly baked cookies. Yes. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Wendy. She made cookies. I think I'm going to have a little after breakfast dessert shortly here. I hope she's not listening. I'm going to get busted. Number 6, we can help you with this one. Hearing your favorite song on the radio. Number 5 is one of my favorites. Just the smell of freshly brewed coffee. Number 4, watching your TV show. Number 3, a cup of coffee. Number 2, catching up with an old friend or a loved one. And then our number 1, simple joy in life. Waking up after a good night's sleep. Now, a couple that also made the top 20 was running into a friend. One of my favorites, I can't believe this isn't the top 10 simple joy in life, cuddling with your pet. Mine is, now sleeping in the chair behind me. So he was supposed to be my supervisor for now. So yeah, he's snoring away over there. Also receiving a compliment or giving a compliment. So yes, those are something, the simple joys in life. You know, simple joy for me in life, a little bit of reading maybe, sitting outside, enjoying some great weather, even maybe having a little bonfire. Maybe we'll get to do that this weekend as well. It depends, you know, things are getting a little dry out, but that's a simple joy in life. And yes, I did get a haircut this weekend. That was much overdue. And I also took care of the deal that I made with all of you. We will have Facebook video of that tomorrow. As you may recall, last Thursday was our third annual Hope House Radio Requestathon. I said if we raised over $3,500, I would get purple fingernails and toenails. If we hit $4,000, we meet and exceeded both of those. So yes, that did happen this weekend. We will have a little bit of video of that as well. I will say getting the stuff done on the feet was very relaxing, very chill. They also had a nice chair to sit in. I could have almost fallen asleep there. It was so relaxing. So yes, the simple joys in life, some of the most important things we do. Coming up, we're going to have a look at our calendar days. That'll be next. And then a little after 8:30, we're going to have Hanging with Havel and Maddie on Max FM.
Cell Plus invites you to catch the sunrise on Max FM. 4 hours of positive, uplifting music every Sunday morning from 5 to 9. Brought to you exclusively by your local U.S. Cellular agent. Cell Plus in Baraboo, Reedsburg, and Wisconsin Dells.
Stop in today to test drive and buy your next new or used vehicle at Baraboo's Don Larson Ford Superstore or Don Larson GM Superstore. Don Larson now offers two convenient locations on County Highway BD and South Boulevard in Baraboo. Not ready to buy? They service all makes and models in both of their service departments. Your next vehicle is waiting for you at Don Larson GM Superstore or Don Larson Ford Superstore, Baraboo. Shop them 24/7 at DonLarson.com and DonLarsonFord.com.
Looking for a great time with your pals? Head over to Pals Brewing Company, now open in Wisconsin Dells. Sip on their unique, exclusive beer flavors you won't find anywhere else, like their award-winning Honey Wheat. Try their mouth-watering pizzas with the most creative toppings around. Ever try a cheeseburger pizza with pickles or a twisted buffalo pizza loaded with sriracha ranch and blue cheese? Don't forget Wing Wednesdays for their unbeatable flight and wing specials. Enjoy it all in their pet-friendly patio. For an unforgettable time, visit Pals Brewing Company, open daily at 11 a.m. Get more details at palsdells.com.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Maximum hits.
'90s and more, 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you on Monday morning. We're going to do calendar days because coming up shortly, we will have Hanging with Havel and Maddie. That's going to be right around 8:30 today. So again, Hanging with Havel with Maddie and Havel. We thank Oakwood Fruit Farm for, I can talk today, Oakwood Fruit Farms and Tricor Insurance. They're going to talk about that Packers-Vikings game. Yeah, interesting game to say the least. Packers did not score until the fourth quarter, so that kind of says how we got to where we are. They had a very good fourth quarter, don't get me wrong, but again, as I mentioned, you need to play all four quarters of the football game, and so I'm sure they will talk more about that next. But calendar days today. today is International Podcast Day. So yes, if you're a podcaster, today is your day. It is also extra virgin olive oil today. So be ready to try as many olive oils as you can today. We do cook with olive oil. I already had it out this morning for breakfast. So yes, as I was mentioning earlier, had breakfast already. I just need dessert. Some fresh baked cookies sound like they're in great order. It is also International Translation Day. The translator's role is indispensable in maintaining productive, positive, and clear interpersonal communication in international circles. And yes, we thank them for all the translators. I know in my prior job, that was something that was very important. It is also National Chewing Gum Day. So if you like to chew gum, today is your day. It is National Hot Mulled Cider today. So yes, you hot mulled cider. I'll be honest with you, not my favorite thing, but some people love it. I will take hot chocolate over that. But when we're talking high of 82 today, I don't think we'll probably be doing too much of that today. Great fall drink, though. Today is National Love People Day. This day is dedicated to inspiring and supporting others with the power of unconditional love. It is National Mud Pack Day. So yes, that is something we're celebrating and something worth relaxing. It is National Puppy Mill Survivor Day. We're raising awareness about puppy mills and the dangers they represent in canines today. So yes, and having a former dog that was a rescue to a certain extent, yes, very important day. And also, apparently I did not get the memo on this today, so it is National Orange Shirt Day. So yes, I'm not wearing my orange shirt today, and I just realized that. So, and I can't forget this one. It is National Pet Tricks Day. Teach your cat or dog or even your pet to snake a cool trick today. Yes, Stout, I don't know what his trick of the day would be. He's a wise guy. That is his role in our world. We love having him around. I can't think of any tricks off the top of my head. Our last dog, his name was Ace. He was also a Springer Spaniel. He would sit there and bump a volleyball to you. So yes, that was something that a dog could do. Kind of interesting to see him do that. So yes. Yeah, so if you have a pet, make sure you give them an extra pet today. Coming up, we will have Hanging with Hobble and Maddie on Max FM.
Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff from Napa Auto Parts in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Look for the Napa logo wherever you have your vehicle serviced. The Napa logo means quality auto parts and ASC certified mechanics to service your ride. Napa is a supplier of replacement parts and equipment for the automotive repair, heavy-duty truck, and industrial market. Napa parts are second to none. Use only quality Napa parts and accessories from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
The Packers fell behind 28-0 to the Vikings, then almost made the comeback before falling 31-29 at Lambeau Field Sunday. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Jordan Love was rusty early, but finished the game with 389 yards and four touchdowns, but also threw three picks in the loss. The 2-2 Packers will visit the Rams on Sunday. Another Monday night doubleheader to close out week four of the regular season. The 2-1 Lions play host to 3-0 Seattle. That kicks at 7:15. The Titans and Dolphins are at it in Miami. That kicks at 6:30. The Badgers led the USC at halftime Saturday, but fell 38-21 in Los Angeles, falling to 2-2 on the season. The Badgers host Purdue on Saturday. The Mets shut out the Brewers 5-0 on the final day of the regular season. Will now face the Braves in a twin bill today to determine the National League wild card playoffs. If the two teams split, then they're both in the wild card. If either side sweeps, then that team plus Arizona is in. Phil Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Sunny and warm again today. We'll get to around 81 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, becoming breezy after midnight, 52. Tomorrow, sunny and a lot cooler with a high of 65. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
99.7. Got my first real six string, bought it at the five and dime, played it till my fingers bled, was the summer of 69, me and some guys.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us in just moments to talk about that Packers and Vikings game yesterday at Lambeau Field. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
This is the time of year for a scenic drive to Oakwood Fruit Farm. Apples are everywhere, including McIntosh, Cortland, and Honeycrisp, and other varieties for cooking and eating. Come pick your own grapes and enjoy fresh apple cider, homemade caramel apples, take-and-bake pies, apple cider donuts, fall mums, and so much more. Every Tuesday, you can get 10% off all apple purchases. Open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Oakwood Fruit Farm, located south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It is time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press-Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Good morning, Chris. How are you today?
Well, Maddie, I'm okay. I'm not doing as well as the Minnesota Vikings are, and Aaron Jones is, and Sam Darnold is today probably. But then again, there is hope for a better day today and tomorrow for me and for the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love, Maddie. So with that, you know, I say, was there ever a point yesterday where I thought the Packers were going to win the game, where I really felt like that? No. I never really did have that feeling. And if you're being honest about it, 31-29, there are some consolations there and some good things that happened late, and important things, I think, too. Yeah. But it is a loss, and I think they will learn and grow from it in a big, big way.
Well, let's start there with the fact that this was a loss. The Vikings go to 4-0. They are basically leading the NFC at this point with a perfect record at this point of the season. I mean, we're basically a quarter of the way through. I think that's safe to say at this stage of the game. And they are leading the NFC. Whoever thought that Sam Darnold would look this amazing under the McConnell coaching tree? I could have. I mean, that's the thing. I think we all kind of scoffed at the fact that the Vikings were going to start Sam Darnold. I guess it's the rest of us who look silly now.
Well, it's interesting because anytime you've got a player, an athlete who is warranting a top 10 NFL pick at quarterback, you have an abundance of talent. Now, it's how you build it, how he improves, who the coaches are, the play. I mean, there's so many other extenuating circumstances. And I think in Sam Darnold's case, he's growing up in the heat of the battle, but he has never really landed in a good spot. And I have to think it's kind of funny how – in the media, we were talking a lot about the and around the draft and then later on as well in a training camp. J.J. McCarthy, what a wonderful landing spot for a rookie quarterback to start his career. Hey, guess what? It's also a wonderful landing spot for a guy who's bounced around his first-round talent and never really got a fair shake in the league in terms of teammates around him. And he would never complain or say that, but it's a fact. And I think we're seeing Sam Darnold an upgrade over Kirk Cousins the last year anyway.
Right.
And definitely a guy who knows what he's about and doesn't try to do too much, but he certainly is riding the wave right now.
Yes. Wow. You know, and I will say this about what McConnell is doing with Sam Darnold based on just his previous stints with other teams. They're not asking him to do too much. They're not asking him to long bomb the ball very often. It's really just those short yardage situations and letting the lead blockers get out in front of whoever happens to be the recipient of that ball and letting them go to work. And it's obviously working at this stage of the game. Now that defense going into this game, I know that was a concern for a lot of people because Brian Flores has really turned that defense around and really doesn't have, I mean, some all he's got good talent. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, look at what they did to the 49ers earlier this year. Look at what they did to the Packers yesterday, but he has learned to work with what he has at his availability, which is, you know, something to be said. And he's made it very hard for the Shanahan-style offenses, obviously 49ers, obviously the Texans, the Green Bay Packers, to really be able to do what they're best at doing. And so he's kind of found a little key to unlock the defense against those Shanahan-style offenses. So I guess as painful as it is, we have to give them some credit.
Well, I think to this point of the season, it's fair to say, if we are going to say a quarter of the way in, the NFC North teams, the defenses on every one of the teams is legit. I think. And the Packers now, you know, we can debate that a little bit. And every now and then they'll, and we'll get into it a little bit here, but with Jeff Hafley, it's just a case where you practice what you practice all week, believing this is the best way to go. And when you start the game and find out that, guess what, they have anticipated and are prepared for exactly what you were practicing, you got to hang with it. You can't just bail at the first sign of trouble. On the other hand, it's tough when you already know after the first quarter they are two steps ahead of you, two moves ahead of you on the chessboard. And I think that's what Hafley was fighting today, and I think Matt LaFleur for sure. Yep. What was most disappointing to me, though, big picture, Maddie, the way the team rallied around Malik Willis and locked in and focused on the game plan, regardless
of
so
what glad
the game
you brought this
plan
up.
Is, I thought that was incredibly commendable, on point, top to bottom, coaches, you name it.
What happened when your star quarterback comes back?
So, yeah, that's the thing, Maddie. Your guy, that is, your guy comes back. Now, is that the time to take a deep breath and say, okay, is that the time to relax? We got this now?
No.
And especially when he's wounded. And I just didn't understand the mentality, the fact that that part was disappointing. Now, and I will say this again, and try and not making excuses, but there was a time there where I was certain during the game that Matt LaFleur committed professional coaching malpractice by even starting Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think he could adequately defend himself in the face of some serious heat. And I thought there was a risk that was unnecessary of injury. He got through it. Okay, God bless. That's all good. But the that thought still in the second half had a hard time erasing really what I was thinking. Now, the logical part, though, a guy like Dontayvion Wicks, we talked about second, third, fourth receivers coming into the game because Love will, given time, get those reads and hit his open man. Well, that did happen, but it even took Wicks a little while to get up to speed. I will give Matt LaFleur credit for going up-tempo.
Yes,
and I thought
absolutely.
And sticking with it. And if nothing else, you know, I'm going to get these guys in some better conditioning. Right?
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Punish them.
Exactly.
But I thought the up-tempo offense really helped their defense in an odd sort of kind of counterintuitive way. But
well, I think it kept the defense resting a little bit longer because there was a whole lot of three and outs. And we all know that when you play defense on that many three and outs, when your offense is, you know, on the field for only a few seconds at a time, that's hard on a defense. And when you're going the up-tempo and you're really putting the Vikings defense on their toes, so to speak, I mean, 22 on answered points there towards the end of the game, that's kind of incredible considering how the Vikings had dominated up until that particular moment. And like you said, it was literally when Matt LaFleur was like, hey, let's do up tempo here.
Right.
the whole trajectory changed.
We talk about an identity, Maddie. 52 or 53, I guess, rushing attempts one game, 54 passing attempts this game. I'm not quite sure coming or going who the Green Bay Packers are. And I just don't recognize you anymore. I don't know you. But,
well, and do you think that was bound to happen with the fact that Love went out during the first game of the season and they've had to roll with Malik Willis, who is a completely different quarterback than Jordan Love? I mean, to me, that was kind of to be expected because Matt LaFleur had to do a few things different to adjust for Malik Willis versus what he does for Jordan Love. Not to mention the fact that Malik Willis isn't quite as deep into the playbook as Jordan Love. Of it. So to me, it actually makes sense that you're seeing a little bit of a double identity with this team as Jordan Love comes back to the helm and starts trying to steer the ship from here on out.
Right. I mean, now we got to get that picture into focus, though, where it's unanimous and unified every week. And I do think Jordan Love shook off some rust. He didn't look comfortable early.
No.
He seemed to work through it during the game, which is really encouraging. Because he seemed much more comfortable. And when it was really just his mind, I almost was thinking play to play, the game, the situation. What, he wasn't even thinking about the knee after a while. And I think so he got past that hurdle as well. And the numbers don't look nearly as bad as the game did, though. So I was disappointed, though, the running game. I mean, come on, 19 for 86.
That was hard. Yeah, that was rough.
And they just, I didn't think. Now, the average 4.5 a crack you can live with, but it didn't generate enough big plays. 13 for a long run.
You know, going back to the identity discussion, as we're sitting here talking, yeah. something comes to mind, because there was a lot of discussion this week about what this offense was going to look like. If they were going to do something completely different once Jordan Love came back into the game, would they use Malik Willis in certain packages? I mean, there were a lot of questions. Now, we didn't see any of that yesterday because I think the score, you know, in the second quarter being 28-0 kind of changed where they wanted to go and what they needed to do offensively. But at the same time, it was an interesting question, because to me, so far, and maybe it's because of Jordan Love's knee that they're still trying to be very protective of who he is right now on the field, I thought the game plan did look completely different compared to what we had seen, right? I mean, to me, to the naked eye, you're right. There was much more passing involved. There was way less emphasis on the run game. Maybe that's the opponent as well. Maybe Matt LaFleur knew that at this stage they had to come out with something different based on what they'd done the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure, but maybe that was the Jordan Love versus Malik Willis factor. I don't know, but it did to me look like a completely different game plan based on what we'd seen the last 2 weeks.
Well, they trotted out the double tight end, and not to really any great success, because it didn't obviously right. jumpstart the run game. That never happened. They got 9 completions and 12 targets between Musgrave and Kraft, which is good, in the yeah. touchdown to Kraft, but I never thought that the double tight end formation in any way, shape, or form influenced or altered what the Vikings defense was going to do.
No.
So if you're not impacting the game that way, then what good are those? You know, they tried it, and they'll learn from it again, Maddie, and it'll get, you know, it'll look better, yeah. it'll get better. But I would say this too, though, in defense of Matt LaFleur, Jeff Hafley and the defense never really gave them a chance.
No, agreed. I 100% agree.
So whatever the game plan was, we may never, ever know, but it definitely didn't involve 28-0.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. And it was kind of the way I actually expected this game to go. Maybe not quite as out of control at the very start, but coming off of a 3-week injury, not playing against this defense that has been brutal against even a team like the 49ers. I mean, to me, it just kind of felt like a recipe for disaster. It really, truly did. You had this team cemented in what Malik Willis had done the last couple of weeks. Jordan Love comes back. He's a little gimpier than what we're used to seeing him out there. Even he was trying to get used to the knee brace out there at the start of the game. So it felt like a recipe for disaster, and it kind of just went down like that. And then let's flip to the defensive side, because speaking of recipe for disaster, not having Jair, not having Carrington Valentine, that's not good.
No, you know, it was very interesting. I thought Kevin O'Connell clearly outcoached Matt LaFleur, but
yes,
it was interesting that what they chose to do, because of Alexander and Valentine's absence, yep. they decided, hey, our 1 and 2 receivers, Addison and Jefferson, are so much better than their top 2 corners.
Yep.
We don't need to put 4 or 5 receivers on the field to get into their depth. We'll just go that way. And you know what we will attack are their linebackers, who've not
yes.
been very good. And so they keep personnel on the field, the Vikings, smart, knowing they're going to throw, but
yep.
also they can run out of it with Aaron Jones.
Yep.
And they really... the Packers' defense never really dictated anything to the Vikings.
No.
A little bit when they blitzed early on, but you know what? They buttoned that up too.
Yeah.
And I just think that it was fairly clever for O'Connell to use the Vikings or the Packers' lack of corners to attack their linebackers.
Agreed. And that linebacking position for the Green Bay Packers has been a point of contention for a couple of years. Bringing in Edgerrin Cooper, who I don't know. I don't know why they don't use him more. I don't even know what his snap count was on this one, but it wasn't probably enough, to be honest. Exactly. Even though every week they come to the microphone, trot themselves out there and tell me he needs more snaps, but then the next week he gets less snaps than he did the week before. I don't know how the math is mathing.
Well, I mean,
on
what,
that
Hafley comes out and says, if I was the coordinator, he'd get more snaps. No, wait a minute. I am.
Right? Exactly. Like, I don't know how the math is mathing on that one. But Edgerrin Cooper is the guy they went out and got to solidify the inside linebacker position, but yet they very rarely use him. They're still trotting out McDuffie, and oh, God love Quay Walker. He had a couple of nice moments yesterday. We'll give him credit where credit is due. Probably not as many as he could have had, but at the same time, this is a position that I feel like if you are serious about making some sort of run this year, which we know the Green Bay Packers are, right? I mean, they've been pretty vocal about how they feel about this team. Don't you think at some point you got to address that? Or do you just keep rolling out McDuffie, Quay Walker, Eric Wilson? Or do you try to find a guy who gets released? Maybe somebody on a practice squad if you're Goody? I know he's always looking and the scouting team's always doing their job. Or is it too late? Or do you think this is just what it is and you hope Halfley can make something work this year with them?
Well, Cooper had four tackles today and one for tackle for loss. And his speed is evident. I mean, he you can feel his presence on.
He's a hawk too when it comes to the ball.
And I mean, it's not unprecedented to, geez Louise, start a rookie linebacker that you take that high.
Right.
Now we don't have the benefit of seeing in practice some mistakes he may be making or not understanding some certain things or calls or whatever the excuse may be for less time. But I'm saying it's getting closer to now. Once you make the decision, you got to live with it. I think, right, Maddie?
Right.
I mean, you can't
bench
Eric Wilson in place of Cooper or McDuffie in place of, and then a week and a half after disaster say, well, hey, we got you. Want to
right,
come back?
No. Exactly.
So I'm sure they're picking the spot, but sooner than later, he's just an impactful guy, and the linebackers just aren't fast enough to cover. It's a weakness. I saw Quay Walker on the blitz. He got there. He didn't mess around. I like that.
That was one of his good moments, yes.
It was, and a couple of open field tackles. I will say, you know who struck me, and I wonder if you noticed at all, but number 20, the rookie Javon Bullard got salty. The worse it got, the tougher and meaner and saltier, I think Bullard got. There were some tackles on Aaron Jones where it was like, I don't care if you're a legend around here. I am chasing you from behind and I am burying you. And I thought Bullard, I think on the film when they come, I mean, I think way more. And Evan Williams, another guy.
Yes.
There were some shots that he laid on people.
Yep.
And so that to me is encouraging. Where I like the attitude of, you know, the offense coming back okay, but the defense taking it and just now the defense, what they did in the second half, that's for real.
Yes, it is. And the defensive performance in the second half was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. And a guy like Justin Jefferson, I know he had a couple of big catches and huge gains in that second half of the game. A guy like Justin Jefferson is always going to get his if given the chance. I mean, it's going to be rare to shut him down. And I know Jair has in years past, but at the same time, he still always had a couple of receptions, even on Jair, that you were like, aw, you know, if you could have just gotten there a little sooner. But he's so good at what he does. So again, it's one of those things where you hate to say it, but credit where credit is due, right?
Now, it is. I mean, Jefferson could have gotten open. It goes back to what I said right out of the gate this morning, that I never felt like the Packers really were going to win the game.
Right.
Because I always thought, and even Narveson's missed field goals, you can say, and we'll get to that in a sec, I suppose, but you can say, well, they'd have won the game. You know what, the Vikings, it would have been a whole different ball of wax if he had made those kicks. We can't predict that would have been 3 points in the second half for the Vikings, because I thought when push come to shove, the Vikings were going to be able to get theirs on offenses, which I think you're saying with Jefferson, when he wanted to get it done, he got it done.
Always.
And
he always
too.
Does. Yeah,
he does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're good. They're good at what they do.
Sure.
And that's why they're still sticking around. And that's why the Vikings went out on a limb to make sure that Justin Jefferson didn't leave. You know, as much as I would have loved to see that happen as a Packers fan, you know, a little healthy competition is always good, I guess, too. As long as, you know, you can stop them. That helps as well. Now, a little bit of news on the injury front. Obviously, Jair Alexander not in as we're talking about him. That sounds like an injury that happened on Thursday, according to Matt LaFleur after the game yesterday.
Yep.
Doesn't seem like that's going to be long term. It might be a couple of games, though, so Packers fans buckle up for that one. And then a big one, and this one I actually am kind of worried about. Devontae Wyatt actually on a walking boot after the game today, or yesterday, I should say. So that one's kind of scary because he's been a formidable force up front. Kenny Clark has not been as dominant, and I think that's mostly because of a lot of double and maybe triple teaming of Kenny Clark, but he has not been dominant as much as we've seen in the past. And when it comes to that front line of the defense, as long as we're kind of tiptoeing around that, what happened to Rashawn Gary? Where has he been?
He has been pretty much stoned by
kind of like to see him
O'Neal.
Show up sometime. Yeah.
Andrew Kramer, the Star Tribune, our Vikings expert, knows what he's talking about. He said two of the best tackles in the game, and you know what? They played like it yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
I thought Darisaw and O'Neal were really, really good.
Yeah.
Now, Gary did get single blocked and could not get home either in time or enough to make a real big impact at all. And that was to me was a little bit disappointing. The one hit with Keyshawn Nixon on a well-timed blitz, that was nice. But in general, the interior pass rush in general, but interior especially.
Yep.
Where's Carl Brooks? Where's Kobe Wooden? Where's Kenny and T.J. Slayton? And where's the
push-up? They just didn't show up yesterday at all. And they, you know, the week before against the Titans, they made their impact, but that line is not as formidable. Obviously, the O-line is not as formidable as this Vikings O-line. So they were able to penetrate that one a little bit more. But, yeah, I don't know. They just seem to be stymied completely by that offensive line of the Vikings. And I'd kind of like to see the guys that they're paying a lot of money to show up a little bit. I mean, some of these guys have been very, very quiet. And I get they're taking their lumps and they're getting their attention out there. So it makes things a little easier for some of the other guys. But you're getting paid a lot of money to show up in these games, and you've been very quiet so far.
You know, I think part of the game plan that Jeff Hafley put together, whether I mean intentional or otherwise, I think he grossly underestimated and underrated Sam Darnold.
Agreed.
I think that the plan to rush 4, drop 7,
yep,
rely on him to make a mistake, give him a lot of time, not realizing the guy's mobile and he's fairly sturdy and stout. He'll step through an arm tackle to buy a little more time. It just that part was disappointing because it seemed like it was a little slow on the uptake. And I know it's what you practice all week and what you preached, and then you hate to change it 2 series in. But come on. I mean,
it felt a little
insulting
to the Vikings.
And it seemed like trying to compensate for no Valentine and Alexander, but at some point you still got to play the game.
Right.
And the game is to hit Darnold before he gets rid of it, because if he has time, Jefferson will and Addison will get open, and they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even Josh Oliver got open, for God's sake.
Right? Now, let's talk a little bit about Narvison, because as you said, woulda, coulda, shoulda, if he would have made those two kicks, at least even one of them, the Packers walk away from this game sitting at 3-1, right? But now we're talking about the Vikings 4-0. Matt LaFleur expressed confidence in Narvison after the game yesterday. The kicking position in special teams with the Green Bay Packers has been an ongoing issue for quite some time. And Rich Bisaccia, love the guy, love his grit, love his attitude. But at some point, if you're the highest paid special teams coordinator in the league, let's coach it up. I mean, I hate to be like that, but this is what, 3-4 years of basically the same performance from the special teams. And do you think they go out and look for another kicker? I mean, or do you think they just ride the wave here?
My way of thinking, they may try to ride the wave a little bit. If they have an inkling that there's a guy who, and I haven't looked at every roster, a veteran kicker who's injured but going to come back, and the guy that is kicking in his stead, like a Greg Joseph, is the guy they want, then I think they'll wait and try to give Narvison all the love they can, and then boot him, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know? But you can't have the double standard again of, we hold our players to this high standard of excellence, but the kicker, and they were so dismissive of the miss last week that was nullified. It was still a miss.
I know.
It
doesn't matter what the scoreboard says.
It
I mean, you won the game.
The uprights.
You missed it. You missed it badly.
But my thing is this. They may argue, well, who are you going to get? That's always what I hear. Well, who's better? Who are you going to get? You know what? I want to see. There's got to be someone out there who has had success, a run of some success as an NFL kicker. I don't want an undrafted rookie. I don't want a fourth-round rookie. I want a guy who's been in the league at least for a couple of years, whatever amount of success, but did have a run of some success like Greg Joseph did.
Yes.
Someone like that.
Yep.
And is that too much to ask for in the meantime? So we got to – what are we tap dancing around Braden Narvison for God's sake?
Well,
I mean, you treated him with more than you did Aaron Jones on the way out the door. You should have paid Aaron Jones $7 million to go to the AFC. Or at least not signed with the Vikings or in the division.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed with that one. I kind of suspected Jones was going to be on his way out as soon as Josh Jacobs was signed. But it felt like somebody should have tried to counter that just a little bit more to make sure that he wasn't going to your NFC opponent who you were going to play twice in 1 year. That was just kind of, it was bizarre. But
and the Vikings, to their credit, Maddie, and you mentioned it before, they kind of know what they're doing over there right now.
Yeah, I know,
gone are the good old days when the Vikings and Bears and Lions just were awful.
I know, I hate it. I don't like where this is going.
It's competitive. Yeah, you know what, though? Come on. We're battlers. We're fighters, Manny.
That's right. I will say this, too. When it comes to the injury front, we talked a little bit about the defense. Christian Watson also went down in that game. Matt LaFleur, after the game, also mentioned that injury. He had already talked to Watson, and it sounded like an ankle is what they were indicating at that point in time. Obviously, we'll wait for the official word to come out from the team later this week. But from all indications from the player and the coach himself, it sounds like an ankle. Now, what that means, we have no idea. Whether that's
but
a high,
not a knee or a hamstring,
right, or some sort of ACL or something like that. Absolutely.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to say about yesterday's game. Every team goes through one of these, right? Sometimes you got to break a few eggs to make your omelet at the end of it, so to speak, right? I feel like that's what happened with the Green Bay Packers yesterday. I mean, they were feeling themselves a little bit with Malik Willis at the helm, being able to pull out those two wins while their quarterback was down, and then they kind of went through the gauntlet yesterday. Now, I'm not saying this is a bad team, though, whatsoever. This is a team with a lot of trajectory, and we're only four games in. This is a long season, very long season. So I'm excited for more good stuff, especially as Love settles in. That offensive line, as soon as they went up tempo yesterday, they were playing a heck of a lot better as well, because they kind of were dragging their feet a little bit too. So I look for bigger and better things. And usually in a Matt LaFleur coach team, we've seen it before. They get their teeth punched in a little bit, knocked in a little bit.
Yeah.
And the next week they come back a little faster, a little stronger, and a little better. So we're going to hope that that's what we see next Sunday afternoon.
I would think so. You know, and we talked about this. I talked with Dave Grant on Friday about this again. Week four last year, Lions just pulverized them at Lambeau. And that didn't prevent the Packers from continuing to get better and a whisker away from an NFC championship game.
Yeah.
So everything's still on the table. Love will get healthier. They'll get better. They have to get better on defense.
And
a kicker. D and kicker.
Yep.
And then we'll go from there.
Yep, absolutely. And here's the thing. If you want a game, and no game in the NFL is given, and no game is easy, but if you want a game where you can work on some of these things, having the Rams, not the worst, because they're a little depleted right now.
I don't know how good they are, but the Bears beat them, so I got it.
Right?
You know, I would say this one play that just really irritates me, because it might have changed the whole outcome, was Musgrave having to be that tall to be able to get a hand on the football.
Yes.
And have Dobbs not catch it, which he would have, for the interception that sets up the touchdown that ends up losing the game.
Right.
I thought that was the turning point.
It was. Because
I thought the offense
momentum was
just starting to juggle.
Yep.
To get some rhythm and come together. And then he had a tip ball that goes for a pick and almost a pick six. And I thought that was unfortunate. Not necessarily Love's fault.
And momentum at that point in time, totally on their side. It was totally on their side until that moment.
The first half couldn't end fast enough. Oh, my gosh.
No, I know. When they hit half, I was like, oh, we can all breathe for at least a minute.